Let's take a trip down the rabbit hole, shall we?
Ever get that feeling? Like the world's trying to make you pick between like data, numbers, all that stuff, and just your gut.
Oh, totally. That's a tension everywhere these days, isn't it? Like yeah. We're swimming in data, but then you've got that little voice saying, are you sure?
Exactly. And that's where I think our friend Rory Sutherland comes in.
The peacock of advertising, right.
Exactly. We've got a ton of his stuff for this deep dive. Speeches, articles, even some of those nudge stock talks, you know.
Yeah. The guy's a legend. And it all kind of boils down to this idea that we aren't as rational as we pretend to be.
Which is a little freeing when you think about it.
Oh, absolutely. And Sutherland, he's like, here's how you use that. Like, we're obsessed with the what, but he's all about the why.
Okay, so unpack that a bit. Why is the why so much more interesting?
Well, we latch on to the first explanation, the easy correlation. Like that John Lewis store, remember? Closed down.
I vaguely recall that, yeah.
Data probably said, town's too small, not enough customers. End of story. But Sutherland, he's like a dog with a bone, right?
He doesn't just stop at the surface.
Never. Yeah. Turns out the parking lot was a nightmare. Signage was confusing. Even the name John Lewis at home threw people off.
Making it sound like just furniture and stuff.
Exactly. People thought, well, I only need a sofa every few years. Data wasn't wrong, just incomplete. Like that Bezos quote, when anecdotes clash with data, it's usually the data that's wrong.
Ooh, spicy. Yeah. I like it. It's like we're so busy making the world fit into spreadsheets that we forget we're dealing with humans.
Messy, unpredictable humans. Sutherland calls it seeing like a corporation. We love data that's easy, even if it's not the whole picture.
Seeing like a corporation kind of sounds ominous when you put it like that.
Right. He gets it from this book, actually. It talks about like 19th century German forestry.
Okay, now I'm very curious because that sounds incredibly specific.
They became obsessed with how the forests looked on paper legibility. So they planted tons of Norwegian spruce, all nice and uniform.
I'm sensing this didn't end well.
Total ecological disaster, soil ruined, no diversity, all because a spreadsheet looked prettier than the real forest.
It's like those city plans, all futuristic, but you're like, people actually live here, right?
Exactly. Sutherland says we do this all the time in business. Optimize for the measurable, not the meaningful. Like Ford's electric truck.
Which I gotta say is pretty cool. But I can see where the data might have said, truck owners, electric. Never gonna happen.
Right. But they thought, what if we make an electric truck that's still a beast? They leaned into the F-150's strengths, power, reliability.
Didn't just look at averages. They looked at what makes the outliers tick, like in The Big Short, right?
Exactly. Those investors, they ignored the rosy picture by talking to, well, a stripper with 5 mortgages.
And that's where the real story was.
Always in the margins. And it's not just data. It's how we value things. Sutherland says that's subjective, shaped by how it's presented.
Like that whole North London and South London thing he talks about?
Yes. North London is all practical what it does. South London, that's the emotions, the story. Think Dyson vacuum.
Okay, I'll bite.
Great machines, yeah. But part of it is you're like, this looks cool as heck. I need to vacuum more just to use it.
It's aspirational cleaning.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Or Uber, it's arrived, fine. But the genius, that little map showing the car coming, doesn't make it faster.
But the anxiety reduction. Genius.
It's not just about being logical. We want control. We're emotional. Speaking of which, that Volkswagen cup holder issue.
You knew that was coming. It's legendary.
They got so much right, but Americans want their big gulps. It's the little things that clash with our habits.
So even a small detail, if it's the wrong detail, can throw everything off. Fascinating stuff. So we've covered data, psychology. What about how we literally experience things, like our senses and stuff? Does that get factored into this whole why idea? It's like our senses are totally part of the equation, right? Not just what we think, but what we see, hear, the whole bit.
Absolutely. Our senses are totally feeding into our perceptions and decisions. Think about like high-speed rail, right?
Seems like a no-brainer, yeah. Faster trains, quicker trips. What's not to like?
But Sutherland, he's like, hold on a second. What if instead of speed, we focus on the experience of the journey?
Okay, now you're speaking my language. Because honestly, sometimes the worst part of travel is all the around stuff. Traffic, parking, ugh.
Exactly. It's about the psychology, not just the logistics. What if train travel was so good, you'd feel silly driving?
All right, now you're just making me want to book a trip.
Imagine Wi-Fi, comfy seats, maybe even a mobile coffee cart situation happening.
Okay, stop. I'm already sold. But I see what you mean. It's like make the journey so good the destination's almost irrelevant.
Exactly. And this goes beyond travel, right? Look at email.
Ugh. Don't even get me started on email.
Right. It's constant stress. We treat it like instant messaging, so we're expected to be always on.
Glued to our inboxes, yeah.
And it's made us less productive. Sutherland says we've lost the ability to tell what's actually urgent. His solution, check email like twice a day, max.
Okay, part of me is like, no way I can't do that. But I get it. It's about setting boundaries, not letting tech rule us.
Time and attention, they're precious. Don't waste them on what doesn't matter.
We're so used to reacting to every notification, we forget we have a choice. Which, I guess, leads us to that Croydon tram network thing.
Ah, yes. One of Sutherland's best, I think.
It's a brain bender, I'll admit. Explain it like I'm five. Haha.
Okay, so picture a super complicated tram network. At first, it's overwhelming, right? All those lines.
You get intimidated before you even start.
Exactly. We overestimate the difficulty. But usually, once you do it, it's not that bad.
Like jumping in a cold pool.
Yeah.
You dread it. But once you're in,
you're like, why was I so worried? And this applies to so much. Starting projects, having tough conversations. We build mental roadblocks.
So how do we get over those? Become less afraid of the metaphorical tram network.
Reframing helps, like asking for a favor instead of, can you do me a favor, which puts them in charge.
You could be like, hey, wondering if I could ask for your help.
Exactly. Collaboration, not obligation. Or confirming appointments. Instead of just sending it, have them text yes back.
Ah, so that tiny action makes them more likely to commit.
Micro commitments. Powerful stuff. We're all just looking for those little nudges.
Speaking of, Sutherland's got some wild ideas about using all this for, well, good.
Charitable yield management, he calls it.
Charitable and yield management do not sound like they go together.
Right, but it's about taking those pricing principles, maximizing demand, but for like airport security lines?
Okay, I need an example because this is blowing my mind a little.
Imagine a premium security line, but the extra you pay goes to charity. You get speed, they get a donation, win-win.
People short on time, and generous people, both happy.
Or pricier parking for desperate people, extra goes to charity. It's reframing paying more as something altruistic.
I like it. Instead of just grumbling, it's like, well, at least it's for a good cause.
He even suggests, and this one's out there, a pay to drive on the shoulder scheme during rush hour. Money goes to charity, obviously.
Okay, that one might need some work,
Yeah.
But the point is, get creative. We can use this stuff to actually do good.
Challenge those assumptions and maybe have some fun along the way.
Brings us back to why, doesn't it? We get stuck in the what data routines that we forget to ask.
Why are we even doing this? What's the goal?
Maybe if we asked why more, we'd get more innovative solutions. Speaking of, there's one more thing we got to unpack.
You mean the fact that for all our progress, we're still basically cavemen with iPhones?
Exactly. And Sutherland has some thoughts on that. So we've covered data, we've covered psychology, but now we're getting to the really primal stuff. Are you telling me that all our fancy technology hasn't really changed who we are deep down?
I mean, look, we're still wired for survival, connection, status. Why do we buy brand names, you think?
Because we're suckers for a good logo. I'm kidding, but there's something to that, right?
Oh, totally. But it's deeper. Picking a known brand, even if it's pricier, it reduces risk. We hate losing. We're hardwired that way. Rather stick with the familiar than risk something awful.
Better the devil you know.
Right.
Even if that devil's kind of a mediocre brand of coffee or whatever.
Exactly. Sutherland calls it being the least likely to be shite, which I love that phrase.
It's so blunt.
Yeah.
But it's true, right? Too many choices these days, it's overwhelming. A good brand cuts through the noise.
You're looking for that shortcut, that signal that says, this is safe, you're good. Doesn't mean it's the best, objectively, but
it minimizes the chance of a disaster.
Bingo. Think about insurance. We buy it not because we want something bad to happen,
but because it gives us peace of mind. We're risk averse, even when we don't realize it.
And that, I think, is Sutherland's big point. We think we're logical, but so much is emotional, driven by these ancient needs.
So what do we do with that knowledge? Not just as shoppers, but as, like, people.
Awareness is key. Know that we've all got these biases, these buttons being pushed. Once you see them, you can make better choices.
Instead of just reacting to the next shiny thing or letting our fears paralyze us.
Exactly. You go, okay, what do I actually want and what's the smartest way to get it?
Love that. Understanding the why behind our actions and the why behind everyone else's actions.
It's powerful. And maybe, just maybe, it leads to a world where it's not just about profit, but about happiness, fulfillment.
Okay, now that's a future I can get behind. So big takeaway time. If value is subjective, time's all wibbly-wobbly, and we're all cavemen at heart. What does that mean for, well, everything?
It means the future's wide open. We've got data, tech, but now, thanks to folks like Sutherland, we're getting the human part.
And that's the exciting bit. Not the spreadsheets, but the messy, weird, wonderful world of how we actually are. Harness that.
And products we can't even imagine yet. Services that solve the right problems, all because someone asked why.
And on that note, big thanks for joining us for this deep dive. Remember, don't just accept the what, question the why, embrace the irrational, shake things up. Who knows what you'll discover? This is The Deep Dive, signing off.